In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, my dear brethren, to recuse that which is hostile to thy holy name, and to follow after that which is fitting to it. These words, they're taken from the Collect, and they encapsulate the essence of what the Church is meditating on during these Sundays after Easter. Our baptismal vocation. These words tell us that we must dedicate our lives to that which brings glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we must shun anything that might dilute or weaken our resolution to serve him alone. Now, we all agree in theory with such imperatives. But in practice, our resolution and determination to place God first in all things is a little less evident. Because too often we try to balance our duties and obligations as Christians, as Catholics, as followers of our Lord, with an effort to be comfortable and moderately successful in the world. Comfortable Catholicism. It's an age-old problem, and it will always be there. It's the fight, the tug of war between the spirit and the flesh. And it explains why true holiness is so rare among us. Holiness of the sort that seeks to frequent the sacraments as much as possible, praise the rosary, that happily accepts the sacrifice of raising a larger than expected family, sacrifice of sending children to Catholic schools, which are by definition expensive, sacrifice of living frugally and uncomfortably in consequence of these choices, sacrifice of having to forego pleasurable pursuits and pastimes and holidays, otherwise utterly legitimate, but because we don't have the time or the money or the means. And all of this because of the basic, our basic faithfulness to Catholic principles. Now, during this Eastertide, the Church, as mentioned, wants us to meditate on our baptismal transformation. Its preaching is very much directed to those who received baptism on Easter night. Through baptism, we've been sealed with the blood of a new covenant, and therefore our lives are altered forever. And it is our destiny henceforth to always stand out and be different and forever to feel out of place in a world of sin. And this world is, sadly, a world of sin. So that discomfort we feel is totally natural. The elect of the Old Covenant were the descendants of Abraham, so the Jews, and they were ruled by a law, the Mosaic Law. And this law set them apart from the rest of the world. And they were to mark their fealty to the one true God who had revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had to mark that fealty in their flesh through circumcision. And then their lives were regulated by a mass of heavily detailed, minutely detailed prescriptions that placed a burden on them and reminded them of their unredeemed status And it forced them to live apart, to be different. And this Mosaic law was hard and harsh. It was truly a burden. St. Paul talks about it a lot in his epistles. So that was the elect of the Old Covenant. And that's how the Old Covenant, this agreement between God and man, worked. A covenant of burden. But the elect of the new and eternal covenant, the covenant we presently live, they also have been set apart, just like the Jews of old. But it's not our bodies that are marked, it's our souls that are marked with two seals, the seals of baptism and the seals of confirmation, a double circumcision. And henceforth, we are to stand out. And whether we like it or not, we are set apart from the heathen. And the law that regulates our lives carries one prescription only, that of charity. Charity for God and for fellow man. So since we've been sealed by the double seal of baptism and confirmation, our only preoccupation, this is how God sees things, and this is how reality is, whether we like it or not. Our only preoccupation must be God and the things of God. He has redeemed us with his blood, which means we belong to him. He dictates to us how we organize our lives because of the great rewards he has set aside for us. We are no longer like those who do not know God, even if we have to mix and work and live with them. And that's why St. Peter, in the epistle today, he calls us strangers, pilgrims, people who are out of place and never settle. They always move towards their goal. Feeling different, feeling as though we don't fit in, these are quite natural to one who has been raised from a natural to a supernatural destiny. And that's us. The world deals with the finite. We deal with the infinite, which is why we leave the world behind. So that's what we've got to put to our children. Whether they be young or old and parents themselves. All education revolves around what the church prays for today. Let's look at the secret. Every prayer ties together. Grant, O Lord, by these mysteries, that checking our earthly longings, we may learn to love heavenly things. So we have to check our earthly longings. We have to bridle them. And we have to learn to replace them by heavenly things, heavenly longings. The essence of a Christian education is not preserving children or ourselves, you know, if we be converts, from evil. It's not about nurturing, it's not about protecting them from the ugliness of the world. Christian education, the sort that the church is pushing during these Sundays after Easter, Christian education is about nurturing a person's faith so that they come to understand that they are marked with Christ's blood and therefore consecrated to his service. That is the essence of a Christian education. Because once we understand that, we understand that everything else follows. Because everything does follow from this truth. How we structure the home, what schools we choose for our baptized children, what sacrifices we are prepared to make, and what sacrifices we are prepared to require from our children, and so on. All boils down to the one great truth. We have been redeemed by divine blood, and we've been consecrated to divine service. So we have to leave behind worldly things. So that's why our Lord warns us in today's gospel. I say to you, you will lament and weep, and the world will rejoice. And you shall be made sorrowful. That's our Lord's words from the Last Supper. And he's telling us that there's no easy path to heaven. There's no middle road between personal convenience and Christian duty. We should expect to shed tears, and we should warn our children that they too are expected to shed tears. And the more tears they shed at a younger age, the fewer tears they will have to shed at an adult age. We all have a quantity of tears to shed, and those tears must out sooner or later. Better that they out sooner in the protected environment, safe environment of the home, rather than in the world when one is alone. Tears are the world's dross that God wrings from a soul. So we shouldn't fear having to shed tears. We should be ready. And here's the irony. The more tears we shed, for the right reasons, obviously, the more sacrifices we make, the happier we become. Because our Lord says, our sorrow will be turned into joy. That's a promise by our Lord. And the joy is not just the joys of heaven for all eternity. There is even the joy of peace of soul during this life. But those who try to beat the middle path, they will never be happy. All they will be is frustrated, angry, and bitter. Good. So we pray to Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, to help us understand all of these things.